Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Civil War, A Narrative, Vol. 3 Red River to Appomattox is the concluding volume of Shelby Foote's three-part narrative history of the American Civil War. First published in 1974, it covers the final phase of the conflict, beginning with the campaigns of 1864 and ending with Confederate collapse, Lee's surrender at Appomattox, and Lincoln's assassination. Although Foote addresses political and social consequences where they affect events, the book is primarily a military history, built around campaigns, commanders, movements of armies, and the cumulative pressure that brought the Confederacy to defeat. Its purpose is not to present a narrow academic argument, but to give readers a continuous, literary account of the war's end. Foote combines operational detail with attention to personality, morale, endurance, misjudgment, and chance. The result is a large-scale historical narrative that treats the final year as both strategic culmination and human tragedy. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Grant's 1864 strategy turns the war into coordinated pressure. A central feature of this volume is the shift from isolated campaigns to a coordinated Union strategy under Ulysses S. Grant. Foote presents 1864 as the moment when Union military power was applied across multiple fronts at once, reducing the Confederacy's ability to shift men and resources to endangered points. Grant's confrontation with Robert E. Lee in Virginia is therefore not treated as a sequence of disconnected battles, but as part of a larger logic of attrition, maneuver, and persistence. The Wilderness, Spotsylvania, Cold Harbor, and the movement toward Petersburg show a commander willing to absorb terrible losses because he understands that the Union can replace them and the Confederacy cannot. Foote does not make this process seem clean or inevitable. He emphasizes the grim cost of frontal attacks, the repeated attempts to move around Lee's flank, and the moral difficulty of command when victory depends on endurance as much as brilliance. The strategic importance of Grant's method lies in its cumulative effect. Even when Lee avoids destruction, he is forced backward, fixed in place, and gradually deprived of room to maneuver. Secondly, Sherman's campaigns redefine victory through mobility and destruction of capacity. Foote's account of William T. Sherman in Georgia and the Carolinas gives the volume a second major axis beside Grant and Lee in Virginia. Sherman's campaign against Joseph E. Johnston, the capture of Atlanta, and the march to the sea demonstrate a different kind of military pressure. Rather than focusing only on enemy armies, Sherman attacks the Confederacy's ability to sustain war through railroads, supplies, infrastructure, and civilian confidence. Foote treats this not merely as destruction for its own sake, but as an operational method designed to show that Confederate resistance could no longer protect its own interior. The fall of Atlanta also has political weight because it strengthens Northern morale during the 1864 election season and helps secure Lincoln's continuation in office. Sherman's later movement through the Carolinas extends the psychological dimension of the campaign by carrying Union power into regions central to secession. Foote's narrative makes clear that these operations changed the meaning of defeat. The Confederacy was not only losing battles, it was losing the physical and emotional framework that made continued resistance plausible. Thirdly, the final Confederate resistance is portrayed as endurance under strategic exhaustion. The volume gives sustained attention to the paradox of Confederate endurance in a situation that was increasingly unwinnable. Foote follows Lee's Army of Northern Virginia through the long pressure of 1864, the siege lines around Petersburg, and the retreat that ends at Appomattox. The emphasis is not only on battlefield performance, but on the shrinking material basis of that performance. Food shortages, thinning ranks, transportation failures, and the loss of key positions make continued resistance more symbolic than strategic. Yet Foote also shows why collapse did not come quickly. Command cohesion, loyalty to Lee, local pride, and habits of military discipline allowed Confederate forces to keep fighting after their chances had narrowed sharply. This treatment avoids reducing the ending to a simple matter of arithmetic, even though numbers and resources are decisive. Foote is interested in how armies remain functional while the society behind them is breaking down. Appomattox, therefore, appears less as a sudden event than as the visible endpoint of exhaustion that had been gathering through months of pressure on every front. Fourthly, Lincoln's leadership frames the military ending as a political and moral crisis, although the trilogy is largely military in emphasis. This final volume cannot separate battlefield events from Abraham Lincoln's political position and moral role. Foote places the campaigns of 1864 against the background of wartime elections, public fatigue, casualty lists, and uncertainty over whether the North would continue the war to unconditional victory. Lincoln's re-election becomes a crucial turning point because it confirms that the Union will not settle for a negotiated result that preserves Confederate independence. Foote also uses Lincoln's presence to connect military success with questions of sacrifice, national purpose, and Reconciliation, The Assassination After Appomattox gives the book its tragic closing movement, transforming victory into bereavement and uncertainty. Lincoln's death matters in the narrative not only because it removes a president, but because it interrupts the transition from war to peace at the exact moment when political imagination was most needed. Foote presents the ending as morally complicated. The Union has been preserved and slavery destroyed, but the cost has been immense, and the path toward national restoration remains unresolved. Lastly, Foote's literary method makes military history read as a continuous epic narrative. What distinguishes this volume from many campaign histories is Foote's narrative method. He writes as a historian with a novelist's sense of pacing, scene, character, and consequence. The book moves among generals, presidents, soldiers, armies, and regions while maintaining a chronological flow that helps readers see how separate events affect one another. Maps and operational detail support the account, but Foote is rarely content with technical description alone. He is interested in temperament, command style, miscalculation, fatigue, courage, and the irony of decisions whose consequences become clear only later. This approach makes the final year of the war feel both vast and intelligible. At the same time, the method has limitations. Readers looking for a deeply analytical treatment of slavery, emancipation, reconstruction, race, or social history will find that those themes are secondary to military narrative. Foote's strength is immersion in the lived progression of campaigns and command decisions. His achievement is to make the war's conclusion understandable as a sequence of human choices under extreme pressure, not simply as a list of battles. In conclusion, this volume is best suited to readers who want a detailed, continuous account of the Civil War's final campaigns rather than a brief overview or a specialized academic study. It will especially reward readers interested in Grant, Lee, Sherman, Petersburg, Atlanta, Appomattox, and the military logic of Confederate collapse. Its practical intellectual benefit is that it shows how wars end through the interaction of strategy, logistics, morale, politics, and leadership. Not through battlefield events alone, readers can see how sustained pressure across multiple fronts produced results that no single victory could guarantee. Compared with many Civil War books, Foote's work stands out for scale and narrative continuity. It does not isolate one battle or commander. It follows the interconnected movement of the entire conflict toward its conclusion. Its literary style also differentiates it from more technical military histories, making complex operations readable without removing their seriousness. The book is less ideal for readers seeking the latest scholarship on slavery, race, emancipation, or Reconstruction, since its center of gravity is military and narrative, but as a large-scale account of the war's final year. It remains a major work for understanding how the Confederacy was defeated and how victory arrived, shadowed by assassination and uncertainty. If you would like to support Shelby Foote, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.